Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us, however you're joining us, whether it's live or via podcast. I'm so grateful you're here. And I'm here today with my guest, Melissa Blinn. And backstory on Melissa and I, and then she's going to introduce herself, and then we're going to talk about all the amazing things, is that Melissa and I met, gosh, when was it? 2017, I want to say.
It was 2019, actually.
2019?
No, yeah.
Okay. 2019, she says.
Actually, no, you're right. I take that back. You are right. Sorry, 2017.
It was right. Yeah. Melissa had messaged me on Facebook, and I had just had an article come out in Oprah Magazine. And the message I got from her on Facebook, I think, was, okay, this is a sign. This is the universe telling me that I have to get in touch with you. I guess you were packing up, getting ready for a trip.
Yeah.
And the magazine was there, and you'd open up a page of the magazine, and there I was.
Yeah.
And here we are years later.
Here we are, rocking it.
Yeah.
Like, rocking it.
Totally rocking it. So let's just jump in. Introduce yourself to our audience, Melissa.
I am Melissa Blinn. I am the founder of Epic Love, cultivating self-love, freedom, and purpose all around mental, physical, and emotional well-being. I've been in wellness for, oh gosh, over 20 years now, with obviously me being the catalyst to radical transformation. And, you know, I've done everything from personal trainer to getting my master's in nutrition. I ran a nonprofit in Vegas for 9 years, and for childhood obesity, built school gardens. I mean, like, I feel like I'm the world traveler of health, the easiest way to describe it. And you have been a very intricate part of my own journey, which I'm excited to talk about today, and of how interesting money and health go very hand in hand, very hand in hand.
Very. Yeah. How we are with one thing is how we are with everything. They manifest differently because the modality is different.
For sure.
And it's actually perfect today, which I just saw on Facebook before we went live on the show, is that today is World Mental Health Day.
Yes, it is.
What is World Mental Health Day, and what is being celebrated worldwide today?
Mental Health Day, it's a huge awareness of how mental health has become the forefront of, you know, the top health-related diseases in the world. You know, suicide, depression, anxiety, there's PTSD, there's just trauma, and obviously different shades of that. It's really to raise an awareness on that mental health plays a very significant impact on everyone, whether we want to believe it or not, and raising an awareness of how important it is to be a self-advocate for your own mental health and have an awareness of what do I do on a consistent basis that makes me do a barometer check of my own mental well-being before it gets too late. And I think one of the things that I'm super, super passionate about today is, like, you know, in my bloodline, in my family, you know, my aunt, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia way before I was even born. I have two cousins that were diagnosed bipolar. And so for me, this day has a very intimate and personal feeling and connection because it's literally is in my bloodline. My mom, who's still alive, she's still takes the antidepressants. She's, you know, my whole life, that's, you know, a label that she's been with. And so it's very personal for me, but yet also empowering that when we do take radical responsibility for our own mental well-being and self-advocate, like, sky's the limit on what you could do to break that belief or that stigma. So super that's passionate about it.
Yeah, that's the word I was going to say is destigmatize the word mental illness.
Yes.
And that the opposite of illness is wellness.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to lean into that on a financial, we're going to share things financially today at the front end of the show, and then we'll see where the conversation takes us. But it is Mental wellness and financial wellness are so intertwined.
100%. 100% intertwined. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And gosh, there's so much we can talk about, but let's start with you. Because we have this sisterhood, and you're one of four. I've interviewed Sandy. She's been on the show. Stacy's been on the show. Now you're on the show. And this, we have this sisterhood of women where we're collectively in our own way with our own talents. We all sit on a nonprofit board together, helping kiddos find their inner genius.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that you're a part of my tribe. Mm-hmm. And I learn from you as much as anyone in my world. And I know that you learn from me. And you have a really powerful story. So the promotion to today's show is that I truly see you as a warrior.
Thank you.
A warrior for women, a warrior heart, a warrior spirit. And that was born out of a lot. And just like I shared before the show, is that it's really important to me that our listener hears your story.
Yeah.
And that someone, even just one woman that listens to this particular show, hears your story and believes that she's possible.
100%.
She can overcome, and that she can be a warrior, and she can create whatever the fuck she says she wants in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
On this show. Okay. So let's talk about your childhood. Let's start, because like I teach in my world and in the show, is that our beliefs and habits and behaviors are formed at a very young age.
100%.
And you've had to work very actively yourself. And so we're going to talk about what that work was for you. But what was life like for you growing up? Where did you grow up? Where did your journey begin?
Yeah. So I want to just be really transparent. So my mom and my dad were both addicts. So I was born into an environment where both of my parents were addicts. And from the time that I was born, my nervous system, and we'll talk a lot about that, my nervous system and my experiences that I had through these two eyeballs, there was so much instability that it rooted in anxiety until my 30s, like severe anxiety. And my behaviors that I would do would only amplify those beliefs that I had. And so growing up with both of my parents being addicts, I grew up in Las Vegas. And then my parents divorced for the first time when I was around 2. And my dad and I moved to Mount Charleston, which is a little mountain town, 45 minutes outside of Vegas. And so I was predominantly raised by my father, and he really had a lot of highs and lows with his own mental health and his own addiction. And being predominantly raised by a man, you know, I didn't know how to take care of myself. And my father, who struggled again with his own, you know, health and wellness, I didn't brush my teeth when I was a little girl. I ate sugar all the time. I drank soda. You know, no one was in my environment to teach me proper hygiene. And I remember by the time I was like 8 years old, I had to have 4 of my permanent teeth. I had to have crowns put on because they had rotted so bad. So already by 7, 8 years old, I'm already at the dentist having major dental work done because one, I didn't have anyone to teach me how to brush my teeth or take care of my teeth. And so all the way up until about 7 or 8, there was this push-pull dynamic between both of my parents. My parents got remarried. So my mom came back in for a very short window of time. And then she left again. And I remember very vividly, there is the terminology called parent alienation. And my father sat me in a room and literally would tell me, your mom used to beat you. You used to hide under the bed. Like from a mental health, there was so much install into my subconscious of all of these negative and horrible things that my mom supposedly did to me as a little girl. Now, he's my parent. I'm going to believe him. And so I was put into a foster home for about 3 months while my parents did a custody battle. And so this was all before I was 8 years old. And so I remember being interviewed by a counselor all the time of like, what did your mommy do? How did it impact you? I also experienced sexual trauma. My uncle, I was sexually molested at 7 from my uncle. So then my mom got custody of me when I was about 8 years old. And then I went to live with both of my mom and my stepdad from 8 and on.
Okay.
And that was rough. That was really, really, really rough. Living out of suitcases, just bouncing around and going from an unstable emotional, environment to my mom and stepdad attempting to their best ability to create stability. I also then through that lens from 8 years old until my late teens, I also saw a different stability around money. Mm. My mom and my stepdad were both gambler addiction. So how money comes into this is I remember in junior high living with my mom would tell me, you need to hurry home and go to the mailbox and hide my credit card bills in my underwear drawer so your stepdad doesn't see.
Yes.
So I was like, okay. And so I remember doing that all the time as a little girl. And then I remember my mom coming home crying because she spent her whole paycheck gambling. And I heard them fighting over money. And then I got married very young. I got married when I was 18. And you obviously what you see, you model. And so yeah. I repeated a lot of things that were modeled for me. And my ex-husband, when I got married to him, I would write my paycheck over to him. And
why did you do that? You're going to share
it was modeled for me. My mom would always tell me Harold, your stepdad pays the bills. So you have to give him your money so we could pay the bills. So in my teenage years, that was modeled for me. All my money that I make goes to the man and the man runs the household.
Yeah.
And my ex-husband would give me an allowance.
Yeah.
And then what did I do? I opened up a ton of credit cards. And I went binge shopping to get validation and love.
Did you hide it?
Oh yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So lots of huge stuff.
Yeah. And just for our listener to know is that Melissa's done a lot of healing. So she shares her story openly and from a place of being healed.
Yes.
This is not to re-traumatize you or even to traumatize a listener. It's just saying this all leads up to where you are today and who you are today.
Absolutely.
And Melissa and I are in an active coaching relationship with her honey too.
Yeah.
So this was 6-7 months ago. We came together and saying, hey, Melissa identified that she's in a new relationship and there was work to do.
Yes.
And a lot of this has come out in these coaching conversations with how it's so hard to break cycles and patterns. And you are in my world, one of the leaders, one of the women in my world who you are so active in consciously wanting to break patterns.
For sure.
And yet they still come up.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And it's interesting, when we talk about following patterns, I remember my mom filing bankruptcy. And in my mid-20s, right after my divorce, I got into another relationship very quickly. And, my pendulum did a full swing where it was like I gave my money to my ex-husband. And then I got into a relationship where I managed all the money. And it was like a form of control. And he lived with me. I paid the bills. Well, he ended up losing his job and I paid all the bills. I took a second on my house. And so because I swung that pendulum, I ended up filing bankruptcy in my late 20s because I had acquired all of this debt and I was financially supporting a man and supporting myself, and then also living a lifestyle that was perceived for external validation. Like, if you look at me, if I look like this, or if I wear this or do this, I'm going to get like, loved, and attention. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, you know, I wrote checks that my ass could not cash. Straight up.
I've been there. Yeah. Same. I was interviewed on Friday on a friend's show, and shared some of my experiences. And for me, it was an unworthiness conversation. Yeah. I didn't feel worthy of love. For you, looking back at how you learned the language of love, which mm-hmm. all connects to finances, mm-hmm. the language of love for you was what?
The language of love for me was self-love. I come first.
Yeah.
I come first.
That's what your parents got you.
Well, that wasn't the message that was modeled for me, but right. the message that I've had to learn. But the message that was modeled to me was love is self-abandonment and self-betrayal. Love is people-pleasing. Love is outside of you. Mm-hmm. Love is outside of you. Mm-hmm. And all of the things that I've done throughout the years, it's brought me back to being, how can I self-source versus externally source? What can I do internally versus going externally? And by all means, yes, externally ask for help, coaches, and those things. But like, what am I doing on a consistent basis from a behavior perspective that validates that I'm worthy? And it also validates the new beliefs that I've had to work really hard to transform that were modeled for me. Right. And love is a very different dynamic for me now than it was, you know, right. years ago. Very different. Very different.
One of the things, thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so much more. I know that there's so much more there. And one of the things that I tell my listeners and clients when they come into our world, we've got lots of programs where we teach. I want women to hear that it's not their fault.
Yeah.
Because there's so much, to your point, to your story, that happens when we're young, yeah. that we learn because it's modeled to us, that we end up repeating patterns and cycles. And then we wake up one day, we could be 25, we could be 32, we could be 55. We wake up one day and we go, what the F is wrong with me?
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? Why yeah. can't I? And I'm curious to, you know, I want you to speak on this because you're such a wealth of knowledge and also have front row experience of this, you know, but it's that you say you want certain things. Like, it's the disconnect between our language and our vision that we want in life. And then we just keep acting a certain way, or like acting a fool, right? Like, what is wrong with me? Why do I keep charging on a credit card? Why do I keep lying to my spouse? Why do I keep doing these things? And knowing what you know, having done the work subconsciously, there's all this that's like it's just a force.
Yeah.
How do you help? How do you reconcile that for you? What did that look like? Was it a breaking point, like an awakening for you? And then what does that
yeah.
look like?
Yeah. So the first piece is I had a reckoning with my mental health around like, what are my beliefs? It was in 2016. I can remember it very bit to the day. And I remember it's like, okay, I'm saying out to the universe, I'm saying that I want these things, and I'm saying I believe in these things, but my behaviors and my nervous system are not matching. My mind and my body are not congruent. My head and my heart are not congruent. So the first thing I did was like, okay, well, I really want to understand how the brain works. And I want to understand, how does the subconscious and the conscious play a very significant role? And so in 2016, I did a course and it's called NLP. I'm a master practitioner and it stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And it's all around timeline therapy and hypnotherapy of where we actually pick up beliefs in our imprinting years and even beforehand. So when I did that in 2016, oh man, it was a real hard reckoning to go, holy crap. This is where I had picked this up and I had no idea. And so first and foremost, the first thing that I did was like, I needed to reckon with my beliefs and my mindset. I really need to understand how my brain works and why it works the way, not from a place of judgment, shame, guilt, or right, wrong, or good or bad, but like a deep understanding of like, why am I continuing to attract these situations and my behaviors are doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward after I did that and I really reckoned with my mindset, it was really like in 2019, I was ready to get my body online. I was like, okay, now I need to get my body and my heart in alignment with that. What does that mean? And for me, it was when it was in 2019. I was actually right after shortly working with you. I had left the nonprofit sector. I had accumulated $40,000 worth of debt. So after BK, here I am again. It's like, okay, what am I going to do different this time? And so I remember hiring you and I had $40,000 to pay off and I literally paid it off in 14 months. I worked 7 jobs. I was determined. I was like, I'm not going down there. So I started doing different behaviors that felt very uncomfortable, that didn't feel safe, that didn't feel familiar, but I kept doing it, kept showing up and kept showing up and kept showing up. And then my roommate had passed away in 2019, the end of 2019. And I was rocked with a severe case of PTSD, really bad. And it was the most beautiful awakening for me to start understanding somatic therapy and how the body has neural pathways that, so our brain has familiar patterns that we go to. But one of the things that we are starting to see is that we've missed the body. We've not got the body involved. And so from 2019 until I would even say up until last year, I've spent the last 3 years studying and mentoring under somatic therapists, going through my own somatic therapy and getting my body online to where it's like when something feels off in my body or something like understanding my patterns that my body's doing, it's like, oh, this is here to show me something, not to punish it, not to numb it with alcohol, not to numb it with pills, but like lean into that and really get congruent. Is this behavior that I'm doing aligned with what I want? Is it aligned with my vision? And really get into the body. So I've worked really hard to get my mental health and now my body health in alignment where my choices and my decisions are in alignment every single day. And it feels good in my body. Mm-hmm. So I no longer suffer from anxiety. I haven't had a panic attack. Like, I mean, it's gone. It's nowhere even in my system at all. And so it's been beautiful. It's been a journey to get both online and behaviors are validating what we believe. And so it's really ultimately like, what are we doing with our nervous system on a day-to-day basis that plays an impact on our belief system?
Yeah, that's a great way of helping our listener understand. We have had people on our show and we talk about, we're doing air quotes right now. You can't see us because we're on the radio, but Melissa and I are both using air quotes time to time, air quotes of doing the work.
Yep.
And the work, Glennon Doyle's voice just came into my head. Do you know Glennon Doyle? Do the work, do the work, Glennon. Anyway, the work is figuring out for yourself how to not only in your neuropathological way, not in your brain, but connect your brain and your body. And in the Western world in particular, it's been lost. And I know you're helping with this. And there's a movement of women coming back to themselves, coming back to their bodies, learning how to be healthy with just a few minutes to break. That flew by, didn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. Smokes.
Woo. Can you, looking at the journey and knowing that you had to make some commitments financially, what it sounds like is you, and I know this actually, I'm kind of like answering my own question, but for the listener, You didn't know anything about money.
Nothing.
Right. Like no formal training. You knew how to make money. You knew how to spend money. What was the process of reconciliation like? Even I gave you some tools.
Yeah.
But you had to make conscious decisions every single day, and you still do, which I champion you for that, on your finances. But what did you have to learn? And then we'll take a break with about money.
I think the biggest thing that I've had to learn through money is that money is infinite and it's abundant. And it's that when I have healthy intentions with it and manage it, it helps me to feel safe in my system. And when I say system, I mean nervous system. So if I'm constantly spending like all the time, I'm validating an anxious tendency in my body. And then when I have a big bill come or something happen, because life happens, if my behaviors of spend and anxiousness, and then eventually something happens, then that's just going to validate, like, I don't feel safe with my money. Don't feel safe with my money. So for me, the reckoning has been like putting systems in place of managing my money, having intentions with my money, really putting myself first of like putting money in a 401k, investing in areas where I need help, which you are a big part of that. I work with you and with Andrew. So it's like just trusting myself of understanding my money and knowing that it's fluid. And when I treat money as energy comes and it goes, and I don't like hold on to it, but then I just don't recklessly abuse it. I feel safe in my system and I know I got me.
Yeah.
Oh, I got me.
You do. You're one of the most aligned individuals that I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I received that. Thank
yeah. you. And it comes from like, I have so much respect for the way that you're just like, all right, today's hard. Mm-hmm. I need to figure this out. You raise your hand. And as a friend and as a client, it's really, I honor that journey because I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be vulnerable, especially coming from a life, a childhood where it wasn't safe.
Nope.
It wasn't safe. Yeah. So with a minute to break, let's talk about how you're 41. Yeah. Just turned 41.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
We're going to hop into the next segment of the show. We're going to take a short break. So let's just share, where can people find you? If they're like, they're listening to this conversation live and they want to check you out, where can they do that?
You can find me at Epic Love. It's EPICLUV.com. And on my website, there's all my social channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, but Epic Love, but with the U, LUV, all one word, .com.
Awesome. We pulled a card today. So as we're going to break for a couple of minutes and come back, this is the thought for the rest of the show. We're going to lean into this when we come back. It says, there is a stream of love supporting my dreams.
Yeah.
That's out to Melissa, to me, to you as a listener. And we are here to support your dreams and help you make the connections of not just money, but what has to happen, what gets to happen in your life so that you can have the life that you want. And Melissa's leading the way in that journey. I'm Lisa Chastain, your host of Real Money. Join us back here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to continue this conversation of epic love with Melissa Blinn. Also, I want you to know I have an event coming up.
Yeah.
It's called Money Moves. It is a free event. Just so you know, you can share this out to your friends and family. We want you to be there virtually or in person in Las Vegas. You can find out more at lisachastain.com. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head.
And this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
You can get a hold of us however you want. You can send me an email. You can follow us on social media. You can call in right now if you wanted to. We are going to continue this conversation with Melissa Blinn, who is a phenomenal woman and has had her own journey in healing her money wounds, healing her trauma in life. To for a point of clarity for anyone who's listening, what is somatic? So that, I mean, I know what it is. I've done work, but for the listener, if they're thinking about other ways to continue their own journey of healing, what is somatic healing and work?
Yeah. So somatic experiencing therapy is where we actually get the body back online. So it's somatic is body. It's like body work. And so traditional therapy and talk therapy, and I want to be very clear, like I'm not negating anything. Yeah. So full transparency. But one of the things that we have fallen short in mental health is getting the body back online. And in somatic therapy, what I do with a lot of my clients is we do felt sense, tapping into some feelings or getting the body to communicate or feel safe or have expression. And so it's really getting the body back online. And a lot of it is how we do facial expressions, the sounds that we make, the different ways to activate the vagal nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body. It connects down into the abdominal, the womb space, and really activating, which helps to regulate our nervous system. And because most people aren't aware of, but you know, our prefrontal cortex is not fully developed until we're 10 years old. So if we have one or both parents incapable of regulating our emotions as a child, then as an adult, we are going to struggle with self-regulation or even feeling safe in a co-regulating space with a partner or other people. So somatic is really where we get the body back online to where it means I'm safe, I can open, I can lean in. And so from think about fight, flight, freeze, fawn, these are nervous system response that there's a perceived threat when there's really no threat. So somatic is where I help my clients to get their body back online, regulate them, then lean in and make a choice and a decision from that regulated state to move yourself forward that's in alignment. Because when you're not regulated, it's physically impossible for you to make the best decision for yourself because you're coming from a dysregulated state.
And that's the term that we use, sabotage, is that you end up mm-hmm. sabotaging yourself because you are not operating from a place of trust.
For sure.
Because you're not operating from a place of safety. Mm-hmm. And then our financial choices just align right along with how we're feeling.
100%. 100%.
And it's not even necessarily emotional is what I'm hearing you say. It's just a part of our nervous system and how our body's operating.
Absolutely. 100%. So like going back to the example with my mom, like if I saw my mom constantly credit card frivolously, you know, buying and shopping, and I saw her happy and like, you know, all of the things, and like, I saw that. And so like, it was like a nervous system of like, oh, if I do these things, I get liked, I get loved, I get attention. And so there was a familiarity in my system with that, for sure.
Wow.
For sure.
One of the things that I think is important that I talk about in my world, and I think this will get us to the next place in our conversation, is that life a lot of times feels like you're on a train and the train's moving. Mm-hmm. And it's moving in that subconscious way that you're just living your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a time for a lot of people where there's a reconciliation, where you have to literally stop the train.
Yeah.
Literally stop the train. For me, that happened very dramatically. I've shared some of my story on my show before. If you want to go back and listen to some previous episodes, you can. The first episode, I share some of my story, but it was like, I can't continue to operate this way. Literally, I was going broke. I was exhausted. I was frustrated. And I was just like, I'm tired. I'm sick of myself. Yeah. And I had to literally stop the train of my life. I had to move. I had to remove friendships out of my life. I had to get quiet. I had to simplify. I literally had to stop the train and move it in a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced that from what I'm experiencing of you, you had to do something similar.
100%. You know, I wholeheartedly believe, like, I lived in my house in Vegas for 20 years. And literally, like, when my roommate was killed, suddenly it was the train going, stop. And it was like, holy crap. Like, is this what I want for my life? And I'll never forget, at least, like, I sold everything I owned. I remember moving to Southern California and I was rebranding my business. So talking about investing in myself, like, I had a friend give me a $10,000 loan. And I was like, listen, I'll pay you back. Like, I just need this little help to get my business on some key pieces. And I remember moving to California in March of 2020, when COVID hit, I had one coaching client and I was like, holy SH double hockey sticks, what am I going to do? And I've not looked back. And it's been the most epic experience of my life. Not only did it build self-trust in myself, that I could trust myself. Number two, it changed my relationship with my money and how I manage my money for more freedom and travel, what we talk about. Like, it's literally transformed my life. And I had to get into the conscious part of my life where I needed to shake it up, where it was unpredictable, unfamiliar, unsafe. I just had to completely shake the snow globe and be like, let's go.
That you bring up a really good point. I had a guest on one of my first shows, Jamala, I think, Jacent. Anyway, my brain just farted. Sorry, guys. Jacent Wamala. I just combined her first and last name together. She's a mental health professional who does money coaching. And she said, you know, one of the first things that happens when you make a commitment, which is what you did to move to Southern California, is disruption.
100%.
And it's that disruption that I think stops a lot of people from making the changes because it's unsafe, it's unpredictable, it's unfamiliar. Yeah. And we're scared to do that because of what's on the other side. But for you and me both, what was on the other side of that was freedom.
100%. And ironically, the tagline of my company is self-love, freedom, and purpose. Freedom's in my business name. And it's like, oh, well, how do you know?
Yep. But it took you leaving your home of 20 years. It took you leaving where your friends were. It took you leaving, moving somewhere and creating some disruption.
Yeah, 100%.
Can we talk about your mom? Because we were talking about that before. This is really, and Cashley's here. Cashley and I have had this conversation over and over again in a number of ways. And I have these conversations with others. It's not just unpredictable for us. But it truly does require us to renegotiate relationships. So this is all tied to our money journey, because if we want new results financially, if we want new results in our lives.
Yep.
For some of us, it's going to require us to turn the page and move in a new direction. Mm-hmm. And you had to do that. And I asked you a question on break, was like, well, has your mom come along on this journey? And the answer was no.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that relationship today? What does that look like? And just if you could share what you shared on break, because I think it's really important for our listener to hear that relationships can stay intact, but they do require certain ways of being.
Yeah. Boundaries is the biggest key, like boundaries. And, you know, when I moved to California, there was a lot of like guilt unconsciously that my mom was saying, like, oh, you're leaving me, like, I'm happy for you. And, you know, my mom is where she is. I love and accept her as is. I have compassion and empathy for her. I know her story. I know her journey. And I have radical compassion for her. And she's an adult. And I'm not responsible for picking up the pieces to fixing her or changing her. Or nor am I obligated to rescue her. She's an adult, you know, just like I'm an adult. I make choices and decisions. So the hardest thing that I've ever had to do is set really hard boundaries with my own mother, because I also knew that her mental being and her view, a lot of her belief systems were not in alignment with mine. Doesn't make them right, wrong, good, or bad, but crossing that boundary of like, leaking my beliefs on her side of the street, leaking my judgments on her side of the street, leaking my time or mine on hers when she was never even asking for it. Mm-hmm. So I had to have a hard dose reality of like, she's not asking for help. So stop.
Yeah.
So stop. And where can I spend that energy that I might be spending on her? Oh, okay. Get clear, Melissa. Spend it on yourself.
Yep.
So I think in, you know, for me, like really having to let go of resentment, you know, and work on letting go of that resentment and that anger, which goes along the lines of like the mindset work, what I do with clients, it's like, you know, you drink poison thinking you're waiting for the other person for it to impact the other person. And the more that we keep that stuff down in self, the more it impacts ourselves.
That's right. So,
yeah. It's been a journey.
It is. Yeah. And it's so important for, I think, American women in particular, and women on the planet today to hear that it's okay. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many, I mean, I could probably count the number of times that my parents, my dad in particular, threatened to disown me, because the family belief was, if you're not with us, if you're not on, you know, like family is everything. I heard mm-hmm. that over and over and over and over growing up. Family's everything. Family's everything. And if you're not loyal to the family and you don't do things our way, you're out.
Yeah.
And I let that belief paralyze me. Mm-hmm. And I was so unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a good person, y'all. Like, I wasn't trying to like go out and rob banks and right. But it led me down a really dark path. And I had to be willing to, and same for you to say, okay, and mm-hmm. you're not going to be on this journey with me, but I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to do it anyway.
For sure.
And you have a relationship with your mom today.
I do. Absolutely. We talk almost every day, you know, and I'm mindful, you know, I allow her space to process at times, but I'm also very mindful on my energy attempting to change her or fix her or give her my feedback, especially if she's not asking for it.
Right.
Stop. It's like, she's not asking for it. Leave it alone.
That's one of the biggest mistakes I see in the work of transformation, is that people go through a transformational process themselves and then they want to like spew it all over everybody.
Yeah.
But we can better channel it.
Absolutely.
We can better channel it. And I know for you, one of the things that you wanted, that we were talking about on break, that's important, is to talk about how women can feel supported and empowered with their money. And okay, so just putting this out there, Melissa and I have done a lot of work on ourselves. We're in our 40s. There's a lot more of work to do. I'm not a billionaire yet, right? Like, you're not a billionaire. We're not rich women talking like, hey, yeah, we did all this work. And then, but we do have results.
Yeah.
And for you, you've built your company and you have a very stable a flow, I would say, for you. Mm-hmm. One of the things is that you have a flow of clientele. You've stabilized yourself financially. There's work for you to do. There's work for me to do. But in this conversation today, knowing what you know, what are some things that you want women to hear about their own lives and money today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the biggest takeaway is I want women to know, like, you matter and your relationship with money also matters. And you deserve a place at the table to talk about what that is if you're in a partnership. Mm. I think that's really, really, really important. You know, we've seen the pendulum swing from, like, obviously from patriarchy, and I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but like, obviously the women stayed home and took care of the kids. And then when the feminine movement came, it was like pro women, you know, keep going, keep charging. And almost that pendulum swung so far where we embodied a little bit too much masculine. And now it's like, we're starting to see the pendulum swing back in the middle. And at least definitely through my lens, it's like, okay, I could still be successful through my lens. I still can create safety financially through my lens. But now it's like, I deserve it a place at the table on what does my value with money look like now for self, and more importantly, in my relationship, which where you come in, you know, my partnership with Andrew and I, like, I haven't lived with the man in 15 years. And so, yeah, ladies, 15 years, I've been on my own. That's a long time. And I'm now getting ready to transition my partnership into where we're going to be moving in together next year. And my partner's a coach as well. And like, one of the things that I said to him, I was like, listen, I need to be radically honest with you. Like, I'm very secure in my finances. I do very well. And before I move in with you, this is going to be really important for me that we're on the same page financially. And I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about what feels fair and how do we pay the bills and what are your dreams? What do you want to do? What are my dreams that I really want to do? And so having you come in and support us, you know, of helping bridge that of like, I don't need to be so hyper independent, but I still have a great relationship with my money and I still get to do the things that I love, which is travel. And I still get to have a partner who supports that in me. And I so see that with women, like either they swung the pendulum where they were the number one caretaker and provider, not that that's right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, but then like, as they want to start bringing in a partner where they want that equality or that, like, there's no language, they don't know how to do it. They don't feel safe to do it. It's a control, like money is control. And so for me, it's like, ladies, you deserve a place at the table with your money and fall in love with that process.
You deserve a place at the table.
You definitely deserve a place at the table to talk about your money and your dreams.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend who lives in Vegas, like she's got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we actually used to be roommates. And, you know, she's been a stay-at-home mom, but I've got to watch her like as the girls have gotten older and they're in school now. And, you know, I see her going to yoga training and like she's starting to put her roots of herself out there again. And like, I'm like, yeah. You deserve to actually invest in yourself and, you know, like you're worth it, but understand that.
Yeah. We don't have to be martyrs. I watched my mom a lot. She was a stay-at-home mom And I just love her so much. And she really is she's the one that kept us all together as a family. And I recognize that, but also there were a lot of martyr conversations.
Yeah.
And she gave up so much. And
yeah,
I don't think that needs to be the conversation for women anymore.
No, for sure not.
Especially white women in America, not to bring the conversation to somewhere it doesn't need to go today, but the isolation isn't necessary. Yeah. And the way that we heal and the way that we grow and the way that we shift is that we come together and we have healthy conversations. We learn how to heal our bodies. I already said I respect the hell out of you, but even just watching how you have firm boundaries around time.
Yep.
Firm boundaries in relationship. You know your non-negotiables.
Yep.
You are very clear with people with what you need. And that didn't happen overnight. That journey didn't happen overnight.
Definitely not. For sure not. No. Yeah.
You're leading the way for other women to do this work.
Yeah. So thank you for that. You know, it's just like, I ultimately know I get to create what I want in this life. I'm that powerful. And I know that I can create anything that I want. And I've got to watch it happen before my own eyes. And so money is a big piece of that. Right. And so if I want to travel or if I want to enjoy myself, I'm going to be responsible and make those choices and decisions for my higher self and what's in alignment for me. 100%. And it's empowering, it's empowering. I think, especially, when we talk about advocacy for health, like what I do it, for work, it's not covered by insurance. Like what you do, Lisa, is not covered by insurance. And so investing in self and investing 4, 5, 6, 7, 10,000, like I've done it all. Mm-hmm. And I would do it all over again. I would do it all over again. And I always say, like, once you say you're a full fuck yes, and you make that investment, universe is going to back it up by supporting you in a whole new way that you never knew that was possible. You just got to say yes. And you just got to go all in. And when you do, you're going to actually learn something more about yourself, and you're going to build more self-trust in any area of your life. Once you say yes.
Yep. And here's the thing. So we've got 2 minutes to close. And this goes for men too. Men, we know you have struggles. We know even more so than women, you have a hard time talking about these things.
Yeah.
You get to find people like Andrew, who's Melissa's partner, who are there to champion you too.
Yep.
Because when we do this work together, male and female, masculine, feminine, everybody wins.
100%.
So this isn't just about women. It's everybody has shit to work on. Yeah. With 1 minute to go, Melissa, what's on your heart to share with the listeners today?
I would say the biggest thing that's on my heart is just like, you're not broken and you never were. You're not broken and you never were. And if you're listening to this and there's been one thing where you feel like, wow, there's a relatability, reach out to us. You're not broken and you deserve help. And I deserve help, which is why I have you. So we are all worthy of having support in an area of our life that we have no experience with.
Right.
You're not broken. Ask for help.
That's right. Raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a better way to end today's show.
Yeah.
To all of you that have joined us in this conversation today, thank you for being here. Thank you for being on this journey with us. Reach out to Melissa. Her world's amazing. She has retreats. She's got programs. She's doing epic. What is your epic gut program to teach?
Epic gut program. It just kicked off today, teaching people how to get their gut health on par so they poop right.
That's right. We got three brains. We have our heart, we have our mind, and we have our gut.
Yes,
let's take care of all of those today. Let's make sure that our money is aligned with what's important to us. From my heart to yours in the Real Money community, thanks for joining us today. I'm Lisa Chastain, and we'll be back next week with a brand new topic, brand new conversation. Melissa, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.